Look who's wandered into the studio a day early. I could hear him coming. I could hear all his USBs shaking down the hallway. It's Jace, the net nerd, as we talk tech. G'day, Jace.
Good morning, Brett. Megan, you're not far wrong because I've got two in that pocket. One, I normally got one around the neck as well for easy access. And then, of course, the phone's got some cloud storage on it as well.
People
and
think I'm joking.
And I was just saying to someone the other day, if the internet suddenly shut down, 95% of life for me disappears because I just can't work without it. That's where I'm at.
That would be an interesting social experiment, you know.
Could you imagine?
No, I can't.
If the internet wasn't there, what would we do as, how would we have survived this past 12 months if the internet didn't exist?
We'd have to talk to each other or read a book or something.
Well, that would have been very interesting, wouldn't it, with, you know, pre-bubbles and all that sort of stuff?
Yeah.
That would have been very fascinating.
Anyway, that's probably a horror movie for you, Jay, so let's move on. I know you're a little bit scared. Let's talk about a redesign that's probably going to have an impact on all of us.
Yes, this one is going to be huge. Google search on the mobile. If you use the Google app on your mobile, you may or may not be aware that when you're browsing sites on portable devices, unlike a laptop or a desktop, the experience changes, of course, because you're using Lite, L-I-T-E, versions of the software applications. They cram a little bit less into a little bit less space, because obviously you've got less real estate.
That makes sense.
So basically, the redesign of this Google app search design should make it a little bit easier to navigate around, and more important things where they need to be, and probably a little bit visually more catchy, that sort of stuff. So hopefully in a short period of time when Google releases this, it'll help your Google search experience on your mobile device that little bit better.
Now, Google have been in the news, just yesterday and over the last few months. They're throwing a bit of weight around at the moment, Chase.
This is big. This could really do. Now, I don't want to sort of preempt what may happen here, and I try to avoid the politics of it, but Google search, as we know, you know, so many google.com.au and do your searching and away you go. Well, at the moment, this law is being sort of built from within Australian shores to make these tech titans pay for their news content, which I believe is fair. You walk into a shop, you don't sort of get a few free, and then you start paying.
But they get it all for free at the moment.
They get it all for free at the moment.
And their argument is, well, news organisations, stop complaining. We're getting you an audience.
Yes, absolutely. So I can see both sides to this, but I also believe that you've got to support the content that's carried. And those people, there are journalists out there that obviously generate this content, go out and do a fair day's work.
True.
There needs to be some sort of remuneration there. But to threaten to pull Google search from Australian shores should that legislation come in and they have to pay for this content, that could be huge. You may have to do your searches through google.com. I don't know how it's
going to
work.
I was just going to say, though, is it a big thing? Can't we just use another search engine?
Well, you can, but how many other Google search engines can you reel off the top of your head after Google?
Bing,
yes.
You got me.
Is that where it stops?
Safari?
So Safari's an Apple web browser, and they all default back to their chosen search of facility or functionality.
So I've come up with one.
But you might be able to use Yahoo. Yahoo's another one, still floating around. Yeah. And, you know, unfortunately, Ask Jeeves is now gone 3,000 years later after it was first developed. But it is a big question. Who would you use if you don't? I mean, there are some that have google.com.au set as their default web page. So if the portal disappears, it's going to look like the internet breaks. So it's an interesting one. I hope they don't go down that path.
This space. Jace, last few weeks we've been talking about tech and cars. More today. What do you got?
I was drooling when I read this. Microsoft have teamed up with Cruise, who I have now discovered is a subsidiary. Oh, I said it first shot. I rehearsed that.
Well done. Time.
Subsidiary of General Motors, GM, in the States, of course.
I've never heard of them. Okay.
For a self-driving car. Now, of course, we've already seen Tesla in the market with their electric cars, and, of course, Apple and Hyundai have got their deal going. Well, Microsoft have chipped in just a cool $2 billion, as you do, like pocket change, to get a self-driving team partnership up and running to roll out an autonomous driving car. And, of course, it sent the price of the Cruise company absolutely skyrocketing to the tune of $30 billion. Because that's what happens when one of the biggest tech titans on the planet just casually drops $2 billion on your share price and your company worth goes up. So this is huge. It's just one of those Silicon Valley tech projects that's now starting to boom, and we've seen two of the biggest tech titans in Apple and Microsoft all jump on board. So now I'm just waiting to see what Google do, but I think they're sort of a little bit busy with other stuff at the moment.
They've got a bit going on.
But how could this be? Would you get into a car that could drive itself?
Oh, I don't know. My folks live near La Trobe Uni in Melbourne. They had an autonomous self-driving bus. And I was down there at Christmas time. I said to Dad, where's the bus? He said, oh, they've taken it off the route. It was running over the ducks. So I don't hold a tremendous amount of hope at this point in time. Maybe we're a bit early. I don't know.
Well, as long as the software and the algorithms are working fine and they can still see that, as in when I say they, the self-driving cars and their radars and shields and sensors can see the same dangers that we can. But the beauty is we're programming artificial intelligence. So as long as we're telling it to be as smart as we are without all our weaknesses, we should have a near-perfect system.
Look out for the ducks! iPhone, foldable screen, prototype. This sounds bizarre.
This is strange. They are working on a really, really small hinge that apparently is not seeable to the human eye, if there is such a thing.
Really?
To put into, perhaps not this year's iPhone, but coming in a few years' time, a foldable iPhone screen. Now, it's supposed to be the same size real estate as what we've got now, and it will look like when it's folded out the size of an i12 Pro Max. So I don't know what it looks like before you unfold it, but very interesting to see. It's a prototype at this stage. They don't know what it's going to look like. And I'm just waiting to see if they patent this, but they'd have to make it very different and unique because there's already two foldable phones from Samsung and Motorola on the market, so their patent will have to obviously be unique to their standards, so they obviously let the competition know what they're doing, so there's copyright involved. But a very interesting prototype.
Made with a hinge you can't see.
Well, that's the impression I get from the... Because they didn't put emphasis on... Because obviously a fold needs a hinge in there somewhere, unless the fold is... invisible. It's interesting, these prototypes. I like the brain trust working on these.
Oh boy, a foldable screen. Yeah. We'll wait and see on that one. I don't think we're going to see that hinge at Mitre 10 anytime soon.
No.
Teams, we've spoken a lot about it over the last year, Jace, and it keeps getting better for
Absolutely.
Users.
Absolutely. And Teams, along with SharePoint, and also OneDrive, all cloud services here from Microsoft are getting the love. Now, last July, it went from 15 gig up to 100 gig, which is no mean feat. Yeah. Now it's just jumped to 250. Of course, because the pandemic has sent most of Tech Valley into remote working, and my understanding is now from recent conversations that those roles are going to sort of remain remote now fairly well permanently. So a lot of Tech Valley won't head into the offices anymore. They'll all do their remote work. And with that, you need time and you also need space. So, of course, what's the best way to do that? Let's increase the quota limit and lay it up, go to cool. Quarter of a terabyte. 250 gig, quarter of a terabyte. That's a lot of data.
Amazing jump, isn't it?
It is huge.
Question time, Jace, from Belinda. What is Belinda after?
Well, Belinda is after a very simple fix to what might be a delicate problem. Computer is running a little bit slow, she says, Jace. What do you recommend? Well, this all comes down to what version of Windows you may have. If you've got something that's younger, like a Windows 10 or a Windows 8, then it might be a simple fix. If it's something older, like maybe a Windows 7, a Vista, an XP, it might be a longer term solution.
Because they're not supported now, are they?
No, not supported. So you need to be aware of that. Only a few years of actual commercial support, but you need to look to, firstly, what software applications you've got on your machine that you perhaps don't need anymore. Head into program, add remove programs or programs and uninstallations, and just check the dates. And so you've probably got 5 or 10 in there that you perhaps haven't used in some time, maybe a year, half a year.
So if you haven't used them, get rid of them because they're taking up valuable space.
Yes, and hard drive space, although RAM is the computer's basic memory, hard drive space is a big thing. The more space you have on your primary C drive partition, talking a bit of tech jargon there, the better your operating system should function. Your machine will behave in general. So the more space there, the better. So if you've got 1 gig free as opposed to 200 meg, you're going to get better performance and that will affect speed.
Well, there you go, Belinda. Some homework for you this afternoon. Now, Jace, as we talk tech earlier this week on a Monday, bring us on home with one of your famous Did You Knows. What do you got?
This one scares me, Brett Mac. Did you know the amount of data and information in the ICT industry evolves that rapidly, it roughly doubles every 2 years.
Now, that
doesn't sound like much, but if you take it that a cloud service came out in 2018, what you now know about it has expanded and evolved that fast that that's obsolete and there are new and more recently released versions, upgrades, features, functionalities and operation standards that have now made what you knew in 2018 completely obsolete.
Frightening,
isn't it? So at the start of 2019, we're now at that threshold. Everything that you learned at the start of 2019 in ICT is now obsolete because something new is replacing it right now.
We need things to slow down a bit, Jace. That's why we need the Bring Back the Facts campaign to get up and running again.
Bring back the facts.
Never works. We might give it a go later on in the year. It's always great talking tech with you, Jace, my friend. We'll catch you again soon.
A pleasure. Now playing.